custom integration, what's the big takeaways from 2020 as you kind of look back at what, you know, the space has had to navigate?
2020 started off with its own challenges even before COVID and everything. Things obviously changed a lot. Depending on the market, people couldn't get into, you know, a client's home, projects were shut down. And then as we kind of spun into the middle of the year, projects really sped up and everything just in the CI space really accelerated.
Welcome to the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stott. I am honestly perplexed how almost an entire year of recording podcast episodes has flown by, and I haven't had Mr. Hank Alexander, our director of HTSN, on the podcast. It is literally baffling to me, and I feel like I should apologize to him. I do apologize to him, you know, as we get into this interview, but really just a wonderful individual, a guy who's always fun to talk with. If you know me, you know my background is the last couple of years has been covering the consumer electronics and custom integration space, and that is Hank to a T. That is what he covers. That's what HTSN is, home technology specialist nationwide, and it's a space that's near and dear to both of us. So to get us on a podcast, the two of us with microphones in front of us and chatting about this space is going to be a lot of fun. And we certainly had a lot of fun talking about, you know, the challenges that custom integrators faced in 2020 and, you know, some of the opportunities that they now face as they look ahead to 2021. And, you know, there's a lot to consider. You know, there's smart home trends that health and wellness is a big part of the smart home space, and COVID and everything that has presented is really, you know, accelerating the growth in that area as Hank dives into. And the tech trends are always fine. The audio and video and home theater trends that we dive into is always a good time. But some of those trends and, you know, where those things start to emerge is typically at CES. And Hank and I sat down about a month out from CES, which is in early January every year, and a show that would usually, you know, bring us together in Las Vegas for one heck of a week, you know, out there in the desert and, you know, walking the trade show floors and, you know, the different hotels and catching up with vendors. It's a time, you know, and it's something that gets done up every year. But this year, obviously a little different with a all virtual CES. And so we chat about what we expect the experience to be like and what we anticipate, you know, coming out of this show this year and, you know, just what we look forward to. So just a great conversation, one that I should have had a long time ago. I don't know why it took until December of this year and late 2020 to almost an entire year to get Hank on the podcast. But here we are. And, you know, we sure had fun with it. So let's just go ahead and dive into our Independent Thinking Podcast with Hank Alexander, our director of HTSN. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast. And for the first time, this might be a first time for you, Hank. Wow. It's been a year. We're coming up on a year of the podcast, and I can't believe this is the first time I'm having you on. That's my fault. I should apologize. I feel
I
should.
It's good to be here.
No. Right? But no, we got a little busy and sidetracked along the way. But, you know, Mr. Hank Alexander, our director of HTSN here at Nationwide Marketing Group. First of all, I appreciate you, you and your elf on the shelf taking some time to join us on the podcast.
Yeah. He moves around a little.
You're in there. You got to keep an eye on him back on that shelf.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I'll watch while you talk. But
there you go. Yeah, let me know what you're doing back there.
We'll keep an eye now. But Hank, appreciate you joining. And, you know, we talk about the craziness of this past year. You know, I've talked to a lot of different members and other areas of the business about, you know, what this year has been like. Custom integration, you know, what's the big takeaways from 2020 as you kind of look back at what, you know, the space has had to navigate?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it certainly 2020 started off with its own challenges even before, you know, COVID and everything. And we were looking at some challenges in the business, and COVID hit, and, you know, things obviously changed a lot depending on the market. People couldn't get into, you know, a client's home, projects were shut down. And then as we kind of spun into the middle of the year, projects really sped up. Everybody needed networks taken care of, and everybody was obviously staying home. So they're looking at the old 55 or 65 inch TV, and everything just in the CI space, obviously in all consumer electronics, but the CI space really, really accelerated. We come into the back half of the year with nice, strong double digit growth in our CI business. And the word in 2020 is supply chain, right? If everybody could get another receiver, another panel, another whatever, you know, they could get another job done or complete a job or some of those kinds of things. So, you know, 2020's obviously been an interesting year. In fact, I actually just read this morning where there was a container ship that got caught in some bad weather coming over and lost 2,000 containers. And some of it's product that from brands we know and we do business with, bound for the U.S. And so it's like, as if 2020 wasn't strange enough, we've got a container ship that loses 2,000 containers at sea with, you know, with product bound for the U.S. for consumer electronics. It's like, well,
I feel like that has something to do. I don't know if you've seen these monoliths that have been popping up around the world, but, you know, some art installations, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That tells me that some signals are being sent that someone's messing with the globe and Mother Nature. It's just, it's too much at this point.
It's, we, you know, we deal with, you know, port issues in a normal, you know, oh, there's a strike or a port issue or a ship loses some, you know, containers or, you know, some little thing. This year it's been all of them together, and it's just, you know, it's really refreshing to see, you know, the CI guys, our guys, you know, how resilient they are, pushing through it, doing well, getting new jobs, staying busy, staying healthy, all those things. It's really refreshing to have that.
Yeah. And you mentioned specifically the thing that comes to mind when I think about this space is the projects. You know, we're talking about a time where a global pandemic going on, it seems like people would be hesitant to welcome a company or, you know, contractors into their home to work on upgrades and things like that. But it almost feels like, you know, from what we're seeing and hearing, that the need for upgrading that TV experience and audio experience to outweighs the potential, not that there's harms of doing it, because you know, these guys are being safe as they go into customers' homes and things like that. But it really didn't have, you know, on the back half as big of an impact as we thought.
Yeah, it really didn't. And certainly the name of the game was PPE, protective gear.
Yep.
And making sure everybody was, you know, wearing face masks or gloves and wiping things down or all of those kinds of things. But yeah, there wasn't as much of a scare, I don't think, you know, for the most part, as we all thought there would be, or that there was in the very beginning of it. Certainly everybody's taking a lot of precautions and, you know, making sure everybody's healthy and all of those kinds of things. But yeah, you're exactly right. The need for, because we're all working from home and learning from home and all of those things, the need to upgrade networks and office spaces and the TVs and the audio, and, you know, shocking how much home theater is making a resurgence, because everybody's like, wow, I can't go to a concert, I can't go to a sporting event, I can't go to the movies. And now with streaming, a lot of the first run movies, as we all know, are coming right to the home. And so people are like, great, I'll build out my basement and do a home theater or my media room. And so we're seeing a really nice resurgence in that side of the business as well. It's really good.
That's awesome. And because I know in recent years, not that it's gotten stale or anything, but, you know, the it felt like people were kind of getting either more DIY feel with their home theaters, or just sort of taking a simplified approach as opposed to, you know, going full blown with home theaters. But awesome to see that come back. And you mentioned the streaming options. Companies, you know, you're now hearing on commercials with new movies that come out, you know, available in theaters, will launch in theaters and available to stream
and
same
at
day.
Home. Yeah,
in your home. So I mean, it's clear that this pandemic has altered every single business in so many ways, but those technologies too. Is there any trends that kind of come out of this? You know, you talk about the resurgence in home theater, but any other maybe unanticipated or kind of cool, you know, sections of technology that benefited from people staying at home and sort of the new way of thinking with this whole pandemic happening?
Yeah, so certainly networks, you know, networking became first and foremost the thing that everybody was hyper-focused on. You know, it wasn't a bad situation when they, you know, had to take the occasional call at home or webinar, or the kids, you know, did something online. It was okay. But when it was 24/7, and so we saw, you know, a lot of people beefing up, going to mesh networks. Several of our vendors introduced new products in the mesh network category. So I think that was probably the first kind of push or trend that we started to see. You know, from there, yeah, really the home theater, you know, we partnered with Row One for home theater seating. We started really looking at that, you know, that whole side of the business a lot differently again. You know, things like lighting, that's a big push. Everybody's at home and making sure that the lighting is done the right way and that it's healthy and it makes you, you know, it, all of those things. There's just a ton of new trends and things that are coming out of the work from home, you know, learn from home side of the business.
No, that's awesome. Any lasting impacts too? I mean, these are trends that are kind of, you know, trends come and go, and I'm sure we'll see some of these that not necessarily lose all of their luster, but that kind of fall back to the back burner. Any that are sort of lasting that you can think of that impacts of this on either technology or just the way business is done?
I think the biggest trend that I saw in 2020, it's been growing, but certainly grew a lot in 2020, outdoor living. Our outdoor business has just been crazy. If you look at Traeger grills, you can't buy a Traeger grill right now. It's just, it's impossible. Flat panels for outdoors, I mean, are just, it's, you know, so that whole outside living has been growing every year. You know, some statistics show it double digits every year. And this year it was just insane. And I think that continues. I think that continues very, very strong for the next 5 years, 4 or 5 years, because everybody wants to just be outside more and more.
That makes sense. And you know, that's where a lot of the social distancing is happening.
Yeah.
You get the social distancing parties and people that sort of, you got to stay apart, but that all happens outdoors, right?
So absolutely.
Why not make the most of that space while you're doing it?
Yep. A little rock and roll and some TV out there.
Don't forget, you got the like landscape acoustics,
oh, yeah,
and things like that. There's so many ways that you don't normally think of. I mean, yes, you got the grill, you got maybe an outdoor display, but you know, it gets down to the furniture and you, outdoor audio. There's so many ways you can go with that space.
Yeah, we did our patio last year, and my wife was like, why are we putting like 10 speakers on our patio? And it's like, more is better, right? More is better. That was my excuse for getting more speakers.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, you know, you did it right.
Neighbors don't like it, but that's all right.
That's all right. They'll like it when they're there and enjoying it with you.
Exactly.
So. Oh, no. But, you know, we're talking about all these tech trends and kind of how the CI channel has been impacted. But typically the place we go to find out about all these things is, we're talking here in December. About a month from now, we would typically be gathering in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. It's still happening.
Yeah.
This year,
yeah,
just a little bit different. It's going all digital.
A little different. Normally, we'd all be hanging out with 175,000 of our closest friends and relatives in Vegas, and this year we can do CES in our pajamas from our office, right? From my seat, I think it's a good thing to be able to get people who haven't been to CES for a number of years, or maybe ever. It's a good opportunity to expose them to CES and the trends, and, you know, get them to see new products from, you know, different partners and vendors and business, and hear keynotes from various people. So it's, from my standpoint, yeah, it's too bad we're not all there. We really look forward to being with everybody in Vegas. It's a lot of work, but, you know, this year it's virtual, and it's going to be a fun experience.
Well, you talk about people that haven't been to CES in a while or ever. I know one segment of that is consumers. You know, yeah. This will be the first time that I know it's on a limited basis, and they'll limit the types of things they can access. But pretty neat to see CTA open up CES to the consumer market and kind of give people that, you know, always it was like a pipe dream. What kind of job do I have to get that'll let me go to CES? But rather this time, you can sign up, and if you're just a normal tech lover, you know, you can attend the show this year.
Every year I'd have at least one friend that would be like, could I go 1 year with you? Could you just get me a pass and just, you know, I want to go and see it. I want to experience it. And it's funny because now it's like, yeah, sure. Just go register. It's really easy.
Here you go. You know, here's the link.
Here's the link.
It's one of those things where all shows have been, we talk about how everything's been impacted. Show primetime was impacted. So, neat to see that this is something that can still happen in a digital format. And who knows, maybe it's something, we've been talking internally at Nationwide about what future primetimes may look like because of a virtual show and how that went. Maybe CES, this is something that sort of sticks around, as sort of an offering.
You know, Rob, you asked a very interesting question about what's one of those trends that's going to stick around. I think virtual aspects of these shows, you're right, we've talked about it internally. You know, CD has talked about it. CTA is talking about it. Like, are there portions of those shows that can take place virtually and incorporate, you know, maybe the consumer side of it as a virtual thing? If CES, I'm pretty sure CES is going to get pulled off next year, that we're going to be able to go to Vegas. But so there's all of those kinds of conversations with everybody going on. Like, what does that virtual aspect look like next year?
And the other crazy thing too is that I think of all the shows I've attended and virtually, and that includes our own, includes CES upcoming, I don't think that any of them have had the same experience. Like, at its core, they're meetings like this, Zoom style type meetings, or these virtual webinar type experiences, but they've all had different wrinkles to them, whether it's the interaction engagement with other attendees or just like a virtual lobby, what that looks like and how you can walk through it, to the booth experience is very different. So there's so many ways that a virtual show can happen too. So it'll be, I know, we're talking CTA has a pretty big partnership with Microsoft. They're trying to run it through Teams. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I have not been on one that's used Teams. I've been on, like yourself, I've been to a bunch of different virtual shows this year. And you're right, haven't been on one show that's been the same layout or the same, any of those things, one from the end. And so it's really interesting. And and right after CES, we got KBiz, right?
Yep.
That's another virtual show. So it'd be interesting to see what platform they use and how they pull it all together.
Yeah, just a lot of like interesting ways to look at these things as they happen. But, like we said, CES, it is happening. We'll be there, from where we're sitting right now.
So, we're reporting live from the CES floor.
Yeah, right. It'll have a little bit different.
My house.
little different feel. CES truly is global this year, so you're not. Yeah. It's not global in the sense that it's bringing everyone to Vegas, but it's allowing everyone to attend from where they are.
Yeah.
But I know the experience is going to be different this year. But what are you sort of most looking forward to as we, get ready to quote unquote attend CES this year?
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm kind of interested in and excited about is more information and push into the 5G side of things. That's coming to the house. Obviously, 5G is the big buzz in cell phones and mobile and those kinds of things. But there's more and more devices that are being built or going to be being built in the next year or so that are going to be 5G. And I think that that's an important build out. And I'm anxious to hear more about that and see that and experience that build out more and more, and see that push into the customers' homes and in their day-to-day life. So that's important. There's obviously all kinds of new display technology, micro LED, and all of those types of things. So it's really going to be exciting to see some of those kinds of things come along. We've gotten some sneak peeks at a few of those things from some of our vendor partners, and I'm sure they'll do some new product introductions at CES. So those are the two, in my mind, kind of hot technologies that I'm looking at.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I know, it feels like we've been talking about them for a couple of years now, but it's getting to that point where now it's starting to become real. Yeah. Not to call out a single brand, but once Apple announces a 5G phone, it feels like, okay, it's here.
When you go to the Apple store, or the Verizon store, or AT&T store, or whatever it is, and get an actual device that's 5G, and all of a sudden it becomes real. It's like, okay, now I get it.
And the cool thing too is that, in the past, when these new networking technologies, 3G, 4G, LTE, had been rolled out, it truly was really just a mobile, launch. It was what can the smartphone do now? But, as has been hinted, 5G has a lot wider impact, and So, what are some of the things about it in the home that you're seeing that, that kind of excite you as far as what, you know, the customer outside of their smartphone will be able to do with 5G?
Yeah, I think streaming solutions, having 5G, you know, potentially built into panels and the streaming opportunities. And, you know, again, it just, that's a big push streaming is now, and as we've talked about. And so having that, that massive pipe being brought into your home, it's just going to give you more options for higher quality TV and more options for streaming and all of those. So, you know, I think having all of that in your networking devices and your TVs and, you know, all of those types of things, I think it's an important push. So I'm excited about that.
And that, I mean, talking to HTSN members, what, do they give you any sense of what the push has been like to talk about 5G with customers? Are they getting it?
Not a lot yet. The most conversations that most of the custom guys are getting is around cell boosters in homes. So, you know, being able to boost that 5G signal in a home with their mobile devices, customers aren't yet really thinking about it in their TV, but that's coming. I mean, that's part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know the part of the way you overcome hurdles like that is, having a company like CES, CTA with CES make consumers able to attend so they can see these educational
sessions. Awareness. Yeah.
So you build that awareness as a as an industry, and then, you know, maybe more questions follow. But at the very least, you're kind of exposing customers to the possibility, and you know, kind of giving them that under the hood peek at what's going on in the industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the other trend you mentioned is panels, and you know, a lot of ways we can go with that, because I know, you know, the two big things that come out. You mentioned the micro LED panels, and we'll get to that, but 8K too.
Yeah,
you know,
8K, this massive push on 8K, which also kind of goes hand in hand with a push with 5G, because you got to have that massive pipe to get that content in. So 8K, you know, we're seeing a resurgence or a push with short throw laser projectors. We're partnered with several people that have them, and we see some really cool new technology and a push coming that way. So you can have a larger TV, you don't have to mount a projector to a ceiling necessarily. And there's some rumors of some 8K short throw projectors coming, some rumor of some 8K, you know, obviously a lot more 8K panels from, you know, the big three, LG, Samsung, and Sony, as well as others. So. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dangerous talking with you, because I have a little media room downstairs, and I have so much I want to do to it.
Yeah.
It makes me, we have these partners. So, you know, my nationwide paycheck should just go right to Sony.
Right over to one of our guys. Yeah. Here, I just need that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just do this. Just get this here. That's what needs to happen. And, you know, sitting home all this time, and like you say, looking at my TV and knowing what I have and what I want it to be. So
we're all in the same situation. We're all looking at it, right? Going, oh,
yeah. You know. The micro LED, I know that's the thing that comes to mind when I think of micro LED is the wall that Samsung has had on display at past shows. Crazy technology, because the possibility of, you talk about custom, building something, custom installations, that is truly, when you talk about displays, probably the most custom of displays that you can kind of navigate and work with as an installer. Do you see a lot of adoption of those, you know, that kind of picking up?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, Samsung's going to have some, you know, some micro LED out in the market. Well, not necessarily inexpensive and something that, you know, all of us, hardly anybody could afford, but it's going to be out there. And it's the early adopters that help drive that price down. And, you know, it also kind of goes back to the Apple conversation. Like, Apple's talking about putting micro LED and mini LED into some of their laptops and iPads. And so as that technology starts to get out there, it's just, people are going to see it. They're going to go, wow, this is amazing. I want this in my TV. And I think it's just going to start to become the next kind of the buzz, if you will.
Yeah, no. And, you know, a lot to look forward to in this space. And I know, you know, probably one of the unfortunate things about not having an in-person CES is the demos and seeing this technology up close. It's going to be different, you know, watching someone talk about it on a recorded session, or, you know, having their display behind them, you know, holding phones up, that sort of stuff. But, you know, to still kind of learn about what's coming. I know that's something we're all excited about, but still can't beat, you know, being there in the booth and seeing it. So listening, while we're excited that we can have,
it, right? It's like, how I demo an amazing media room over Zoom.
It's hard. Well, actually, it's practically impossible.
It is.
So,
yeah.
Because then you're relying on computer speakers or whatever headphones that someone's wearing. Yeah. But, you know, I know, like you said, it'll be nice to have that sort of reprieve of being able to wear sweatpants and a button down to CES. But, you know, it kind of reinforces the fact that we'll miss it. Yeah. We'll miss it this year sure.
So. Absolutely going to miss it. Absolutely going to miss being there.
Yeah. So, well, we'll have to sooner rather than later, we'll all be back to it. But for now, yeah. No, you know, I appreciate you taking time and chatting about trends. Anything else coming that you know, you want to tell listeners about it? If not, you know, we can leave it there before we start talking before, you know, I'm seeing that elf move in your background.
Yeah, so great. Go yeah,
check
great.
On him, but
dipping into the talent back there.
Keep an eye on him.
let's see anything. Boy, you know, if we can do in person, looking forward to prime time. If it's virtual, looking forward to a virtual prime time coming up. And then we have an HTSN summit in May in Dallas, and looking forward to that. So hopefully by May we're all traveling and everybody's healthy and we can do it. So looking forward to it.
Conversations, you know, that light is it feels like that light has been at the end of the tunnel for a while, but now it actually feels real and like it's getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
so
looking forward to it.
We're getting there, but no, Hank, I appreciate you taking the time, and this was fun.
This was a lot of fun.
Even if we have to do it over Zoom for now, I can't wait to get, you know, two mics in front of us and in person, and maybe the elf can join us. We'll talk.
I'll bring him next time. Let's not wait a year to do this. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Cheers.
Awesome. And again, a huge thanks and again, an apology to Hank for waiting so long to get him on the podcast. But as you can see, we certainly had a lot of fun chatting, and Nationwide and the vendor community will certainly appreciate all of the future dollars spent after this conversation and talking about all these tech trends with Hank. So we had a great time and certainly won't wait another year before we get Hank back on the podcast. And maybe we'll get some, you know, action live out at the HTSN Summit if and when that comes together out in May, out there in Dallas in May. So, but we had a good time and appreciate Hank. And, of course, as always, appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast. And we will catch you next time.